welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
me, it's Ariel!
Hola! Woo-hoo. So today, Ariel's getting ready to go on a trip, and basically, we don't have enough time. We didn't have enough time to read, we didn't have enough time to record our regular episode, so Ariel had the genius idea of doing another tag. It's been ages since we did a tag.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a fantastic idea, and why don't you tell us about the tag and where you found it?
Yes, thank you. Thanks, host.
You're welcome.
So I went digging around for a fun tag that I thought would be up our alley. And I found this one. It's created by a creator in Prague. They live in the Czech Republic. Yeah. Their name is Daniela. And their Instagram and their YouTube channel is, the username is Only If For A Page. Only If For A Page. I will absolutely link their original video in the show notes, but I think this is a really fun idea. So basically, there's a bunch of statements. There's 8 statements that have little contradictions in them, and they're all little challenges for us to find books. And I think it turned out really fun once I started finding all of the answers, because like some of them were kind of challenging. So examples, I've got to tease it so the people don't click off that it's not one of our usual episodes. I love this genre, but I didn't like this book. Or I hate this trope, but I loved this book that has the trope. Yeah. So it's these little contradictory statements, and it was really fun to find the answers to these. So I thought this would be fun. And like you said, we've totally done tags before, and you and me, we've talked loads about how we'd love to throw in more random episodes.
But then we forget to do it.
We forget to do it. And because, you know, it's like usually we record every week, and so it's like a perfect amount of time to do a reading update or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yes, I also will tease that I'm going to New York City, the City of Dreams! Woo! Is that the City of Dreams? I think that might be LA.
I don't think so, yeah.
The Windy City, City That Never Sleeps, the Big Apple. I'm going for a friend's birthday party and just as a little trip to try and, I guess, shake things up a little. Kind of feel alive. I am absolutely going to be going to a bunch of bookstores, which I am really, really looking forward to. And I don't know, I'm not going in with a philosophy yet, Raylene. Okay. By the way, I'm leaving tomorrow. So that's why we're recording tonight. So I don't have a philosophy yet on if I want to, like, I'm only allowed to buy 2 books, or I can just buy as many books as I want. Or so we will see.
I guess it depends what day you're going shopping on, because Frugal February is not over for few more days.
It's true. Today's February 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th. So for the first 3
strangely
days,
early.
Yeah.
So maybe it's going to be like April by the time this comes out.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to my trip. I'm really looking forward to getting back from my trip and telling you all about it. Like telling you all how it goes and talking about whatever book shenanigans I get up to while I'm over there.
Yep, and I'm sure something will happen.
Oh, for sure. Something interesting. Some interesting thing will happen. But yeah, the other thing before we jump in, actually, I did have a tiny mini random bookish haul. I really wanted to do this because I was like, I need to shove these items into some episode, but it's not a book haul, but whatever. I'll just shove it right now. I got these 2 really cute things that I think people that listen to this pod would really appreciate. So the first one is the prettiest bookmark I've ever bought. It was a gift from our friend Austin. He sent me this bookmark as like a little Christmas present, but he sent it super late and I opened it super late.
Present.
I know, it's February. But it's this, like, it says Joe March on it, and then it's got these 2 little flowers that are like real flowers that were pressed, and then they're like put flowers in between little plastic. It's so pretty. It's the prettiest thing I've ever seen. So I took a photo, and that will be going up on the Instagram. The Instagram is books_unbound, because some account that doesn't use their Instagram account took Books Unbound.
Stole our identity.
Unbelievable. And then the other thing is, many weeks ago, I got a DM, or the Books Unbound account got a DM from somebody who was sharing these Anne of Green Gables earrings with me. And I was like, oh my God, these are so cute. I texted them to you. I showed them to my boyfriend. So I was just like, this is just adorable. But because of Frugal February, I didn't buy them. And I think they're on my list, Raylene, of things.
Oh, they definitely are. They were like the third thing you put on your crazy list of things you wanted to buy.
The list is called Things I Would Have Bought. Yeah, here they are. Anne of Green Gables earrings, February 1st. Oh my God, it was literally on the
You were
first
so
of
weak at the beginning.
I was extremely
And maybe
weak.
For the rest. I'm not really sure. I don't know the details.
11:28 p.m. is when I wanted to buy them. And then in brackets, I wrote, a follower tagged me. So somebody tagged me on the photo, and that's how I found out about them. But the creator, I will link the earrings and the little shop in the description as well. Juniper something, but we'll tag them on the Instagram. They're from New Brunswick. So they're like a maritime.
No way.
Yeah, they're like a Maritimes That's Canadian awesome. Creator making these beautiful Anne of Green Gables earrings, but also they make like Shire earrings, but also a lot of like earrings that are not fandom related, just like really pretty earrings. So they're like so gorgeous. They're handmade little clay. Again, I'll have a photo of those on the Instagram. I just thought people would like appreciate them, and I love them. So anyway, I didn't mention Connor got them to me for as a Valentine's Day present. Yes. And he told me it was because when I showed him on the screen that I, like, when I showed him on my phone, like, oh my God, look at these earrings. Look, they're so cute, but I'm not allowed to buy them. He noticed that it said only two left. And he was like, they're not going to be there when she's done her Frugal February. So he bought them. That's so nice.
I have a follow-up question for you.
Please.
Have you worn them? Are you going to wear them, or are they just to have?
I am packing them in, or they're already packed in my suitcase for my New York trip. I am going to debut them on the streets of New York. I believe
a statement piece.
That they are going to be the most annoying thing, because they're really big and chunky,
to use
with my mask. I think that's going to be a nightmare.
Oh, God. Even just having, like, a toque on makes it really difficult to maneuver a mask.
With glasses,
I can't imagine having
glasses,
your
glasses, a toque,
ears.
And, like, headphones and a mask. It's just, like,
it's too much.
Poor little ears. So I don't know how it's going to work, but I really wanted to, like, wear them out at least once on this trip. Whenever I go on a big trip like this to, like, New York or, I don't know, anywhere that's, like, kind of a cool big city, I like to try with my outfits. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like,
be cool.
These earrings are cool. People in Brooklyn would wear these earrings. I'm like, I'll wear these earrings. So
that's awesome.
Anyway, that's kind of cute and fun.
Very cute.
Should we do our big cool announcement about our merch? We
should. I think that's probably a really good idea. So yeah, I will take it away. We have mentioned, I think, that we had some new toques/beanies, if you're not Canadian. And they basically look the same, but they're a fresh new color. And it's the color that everybody wanted.
Yeah.
People didn't want the pink. They didn't want the orange. They didn't want the brown.
Nope.
The people wanted forest green.
They wanted forest green.
And so we're
green.
Giving them forest green. And gosh darn it, they're available now. Go check out our shop. That'll be linked down below or in the show notes. This isn't a video. And they're it's so cute.
It's so cute.
It's like, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I could easily have this hat in like 10 different colors because it's just so cute.
Absolutely.
And also Kyle keeps stealing my hat, so I may as well have a green one. It's a beautiful color.
I managed to get, I worked with the merch company to make sure that they changed the thread color on the green one. So it's a light green thread on the green hat and it's a light blue thread on the blue hat.
I love that.
Yeah,
because
they were going to just, I realized, I was like, if I don't specify, they're just going to print the blue thread on both of them.
Oh,
so I was really glad that I was like, oh, guys, can we do this change? And they were like, we'll look into it. And I was like, oh my God, this is important.
It's very important. So. You can't have light blue thread on a forest green toque.
It'd be no insane. Way.
That's a fashion faux pas. That wouldn't fly in the Big Apple.
We'd no be way. The laughing stock of the city.
Exactly. That would just be yeah. ridiculous. So yeah, that is our big announcement. And our blue toques are back in stock?
Yes. We've got more blue Very toques nice. And now we have the green ones. We're really excited that you guys have been loving these so much and that they keep selling out because it really supports the podcast, but also every photo we get, you guys all look so cute. So we're really thrilled about it and we really appreciate everyone who's purchased and is wearing their little toque out and about.
Yep.
Whoa. I said toque.
You said that's so Canadian.
Help.
Help. Get me out of here. Go to America stat.
But yeah, so the kind of other related news is just that we wanted to thank everyone so, so much for buying into the bookmark subscription. We've started to get tagged in photos of people getting their bookmarks, and we're freaking out. We haven't gotten them yet, have we?
I didn't even know that they were being sent out yet.
I
know. So
I can't believe it's so quick.
It's just wild.
But it's so exciting seeing you guys with the bookmarks, and we're so thrilled with how it went. And like the stickers, they're stickers.
They're so cute.
So we're really, really thrilled about that. And we're going to be announcing who the next person is pretty soon. And I already have their almost done designs and they look beautiful. So it's just been a really fun project. And as you guys know, we don't do ads on the podcast. And we're just really grateful to you guys for supporting the merch because it makes a really big difference. Mm-hmm. Raylene, we're trying to get Raylene free of her office job.
So. Let me out.
So the more
we're on a journey.
Yeah, the more you guys support the podcast, the more fun stuff we can do as a community, and the more we can free Raylene. So on that note.
Wow, this is a beautiful, beautiful journey. A rallying cry. Get me out of here.
On that note, let's talk about books.
Let's talk about books. We're almost there. There's one more exciting piece of news before
right.
we dive into the tag. So we recently put up a poll for our next book club, and the winner has been selected. So as a quick reminder, the books that we had put up on our poll were My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante, There's No Such Thing as an Easy Job by Kikuko Tsumura, Medicine Walk by Richard Wagamese, The Secret Talker by Gayling Yan, and Little Eyes by Samantha Schweblin. And I'm not completely surprised by the results, but I was kind of, like a little bit. There were some results that I was surprised by. So I'll start from the bottom up and work our way to the winner. Yes. So the book that got the least amount of votes with 53 votes was The Secret Talker, unfortunately. I feel like this one just isn't well known enough, but I think you buying it has helped like get a bunch of people interested in it, which is super cool. And my library actually has this book, which I was surprised by. I thought it was going to be a random book. So one day, soon, maybe, not, we'll see.
Really?
So I think that's cool.
Please don't read it before I do.
What if I do, huh? What are you going to do?
Cry!
Are you gonna punish me? I haven't received a punishment yet, so I could probably
it's
get
coming.
Away with it.
It got delayed in the mail.
Is that for real or is that a joke?
No, that's
Does it
real.
Actually involve something in the mail?
It involves something with the mail and it got delayed, so I have to wait.
I am shocked. I'm so confused and I love it. I love it. Wow. What is it going to be? Anyway, so the fourth place book with 71 votes was Medicine Walk by Richard Wagamese, which I was a little saddened by. I did really want to read that with a group, but I may just go rogue and read it. I've just been dying to read another Wagamese because it's been too long.
I think it's the exact same thing, though. I think just not enough people have heard of that one.
Exactly. It is kind of lesser known. It's very Canadian and, you know, it is what it is. But I'll read it and I'm sure it'll be great. And then I'll talk it up and everyone will want to read it. So that's my plan anyway.
Perfect.
Number three, third place, the bronze medal.
Damn it.
Goes to Little Eyes by Samantha Schweblin with 108 votes.
Tragedy.
That's the one Ariel really wanted.
That's the one I was rooting for.
And then now that we're down to the final two, I will reveal the number one pick, the book club winner that we will be reading next is There's No Such Thing as an Easy Job with 214 votes. But it was a close race. My Brilliant Friend got 194 votes.
Yeah.
at the time of recording. So it was only behind by 20, and they were neck and neck.
Yeah.
So we may just have to put my brilliant friend in the next poll. We'll just see what happens, maybe. Yeah.
We'll have to see what the next theme is, because the theme for this one was around the world.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Oh, that's fun. You guys should give us ideas. I already have ideas for first, like, different themes we could do, but there might be something out there that we haven't thought of. So
yeah.
Give us your ideas if you have them. So, yeah, so we're giving you guys and ourselves quite a lot of time to read this book and for people to, like, get their hands on the book if they want to read it, because it is longish. It's not like, it's not a small book. So the deadline, hold on.
April 15th.
April 15th, people.
Yep. April 15th. So
get your voice clips in by April 15th, because we will be recording it shortly thereafter.
Absolutely. I will link in the show notes of this episode a link to the details on our website, but you can also just go to booksunboundpodcast.com, which again is also linked in the show notes, but you can head on over there and go to the book club section, and all the details you need will be there. So it will tell you the dates, and it will tell you how to email in your voice clip, but it will also have a Discord link if you want to join in on our Discord book club chats.
Right, yeah.
I find that a really fun way to, like, chat with other people who are participating in the book club. And you don't have to be a patron or anything. The book club chat is open to anyone. But yeah, if you just want to hear it, I've said it before, but if you want to hear it again, basically, if you want to send us in a voice clip, please try and make it 30 seconds or less, because we usually get quite a few, and that lets us actually give time to more people. And we might have to cut, because sometimes we get some long ones, so we might have to cut them out if they're too long. We love your ideas and stuff, but it's just literally a matter of time. But if you want to send us a thought, a favorite quote, but especially a question or an idea, record your voice on anything and email it to booksunboundpodcast@gmail.com and use the subject line in all caps. Scream it at me so that I can find it in the inbox. Scream.
Easy job voice clip.
Perfect. Easy job voice clip. I was going to say, this is a way too long title.
It's too long. Gotta make it small.
Easy job voice clip. So there you go. Those are all the details you need. And I'm excited because we haven't done a book club yet this year. So this will be our first one. It'll be nice.
I know. Although I feel like we've done a good job. Eileen was in December, so we didn't wait too long before starting.
No,
so
it's perfect. It's perfect time.
We did pretty good. All right. Well, I think it's about time we started on this beautiful tag. I am so hyped about this. Okay, so I'll ask the questions. You give me your answers, and then I'll go after.
Okay, okay.
I'm taking charge. Okay. So, yeah, like you said, there are 8 questions, and they're all kind of like, you'll see that they follow the same kind of pattern, and it's all good. We'll start from the top. Number one. I love this genre, but I didn't like this book. Classic. What did you pick for that?
I love these. I really enjoyed this tag. I really enjoyed finding my answers. So.
It really made me think.
It made me think, yeah. And there was a couple of things where I really was like, I am struggling. But then I would find one and I was like, no, wait, this is actually perfect.
Yeah.
This one came to me really quickly, though. And it's the genre is dystopian. And the book is The Memory Police. So,
interesting, yeah.
I really tend to enjoy dystopian books. I really liked them when I was a teenager. Like The Hunger Games, The Maze Runner, Delirium, Uglies, all of whatever. They were all there. And it was a beautiful
teenager. That was the genre.
It really was the defining genre of our generation. But that whole scene I loved. And then as I kind of got older, I really love classic dystopian. Like The Handmaid's Tale, 1984, We. Like, they are very stressful stories, but they're really interesting, right? Because it is sci-fi, but it's also a little bit more real world. It's just fascinating. I guess, would you count Station Eleven? Sort of a dystopian.
It's post-apocalyptic more
than anything. So it's, I guess it's bleeding into that world. But anyways, I really love those sorts of stories. And so that was part of the reason why I was really excited about The Memory Police. No. We just didn't like that book. I mean, it's not like I hated it. I wasn't like, oh, this is the worst book
I've
ever read.
It was just more of like, I'm disappointed.
That's exactly it. You said it perfectly. The tone, I wish people could have seen how you slightly sagged down.
It was an Eeyore moment.
Because the other part of it, too, is, like, it's a genre I really like, dystopian, but it's also like from a region I really enjoy. Like Japanese mm-hmm. translated fiction, I pretty often love. And so it had these two things going for it. It also had the added element of kind of being Orwellian, because it's like a slight definitely. Take on 1984. So it was like really this genre I should have loved. And then I just was really, like you said, disappointed in it. I found that it had all of these plot holes. I felt like the really cool concept, the idea of like basically the government being able to delete people's memories was like so underutilized.
Very good concept. Like, yeah, I know. It didn't feel like it was the point of the book.
No. I had so many questions at the end of it that I wish had been answered. So it let me down. But what about you?
It let you down. Well, me, I actually picked a book that I forgot. Like, sometimes I forget about it because I read it like 7 years ago now and it just was disappointing, so I don't think about it a lot. But it was a book I was really excited for when I read it. And that book, well, I guess I'll tell you what the genre is first. The genre is kind of like contemporary fiction / coming of age. Like, classic. That's something I love.
Your bread and butter.
Exactly. But back in the day, I read this book because it was super hyped up. It's called The Unseen World by Liz Moore. I don't know if you've heard of this one or seen it, but there was a time, I think it was in 2015, like all of my bookish friends read it and raved about it. And so I was like, well, I'll just buy it and give it a read. And I mean, it seemed right up my alley. Like, it's about this young girl who lives with her dad. Like, I think she just lives alone with her dad and he's kind of like a scientist or something. So she spends a lot of time just kind of around his lifestyle and like kind of being alone, and she becomes like a child prodigy. And so I was like, this sounds really cool, like this is totally up my alley. It takes place in the 80s when she's younger and then I think it follows her later in life. But I remember just being like, this is so boring, and I think it had a non-linear like storytelling technique, and sometimes that works for me but sometimes it doesn't. And I was like, I just want to know about her being a kid. I don't care about what's happening later on in her life. Like, I remember skimming through a lot of it. It just wasn't there for me, unfortunately. So that was the first thing that came to mind for me. It was like a really disappointing coming of age book.
That's a good one, because like exactly like you said, this was part of what was a little tricky about this tag. Like, it asks you like, you like this but you didn't like this book, and I'm like, oh, I don't really think about the books I don't like.
No, exactly. I had to, like, I looked at my Goodreads and, like, flipped it by, like, rating and put the lowest ratings at the top.
That's exactly what I did, yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah, that's funny.
Turns out I've only given out, like, 10 one stars. Like, it's very rare, but that was one of them. I really didn't like it. The next question is the opposite of this, which is, I rarely read this genre, but I loved this book. This one was fun.
This was fun.
I came up with a lot for this one, but I'm just going to stick with one.
Yeah, I only did one for each question to try and just like revel in one pick. But for me, it was science fiction. So
yeah,
this is a genre I rarely read. I probably read like one science fiction every year, maybe sometimes every other year. Like, I don't know if I read a science fiction last year. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a very small percentage of my reading, but it doesn't make sense that it is, because almost every time that I read science fiction, I really enjoy it. And so the one I picked for this is Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, because I was just like, the year I read it, I think that was 2012 or 2013. Yes. The year that I read it, it was my favorite book of the year. Like, I was obsessed with it. And I so enjoyed it. And, you know, like, whenever I think about science fiction, like, I could even count An Absolutely Remarkable Thing in that. Or Ender's Game. Books like that. I love them. I have so much fun reading about them. So I'm like, why do I not ever gravitate towards it? I think part of it is definitely that, like, and this is, I won't go too far into this, but I think, like, some of what you're reading, especially when you're, like, online, is like about what your friends read. Do you know what I mean? So like, if all of your friends are into sci-fi, then it's fun to read sci-fi because you talk to your friends about sci-fi. But like, all of my friends are into literary fiction, like me. So I think I just like don't really think about sci-fi very much. I don't have no idea what's going on in that world. What's going out? What's coming out? Who are the big authors? I have no idea.
I don't know either.
What did you pick?
Well, The genre that I, it's funny. Like, I went through a whole bunch of different options. I was like, historical fiction, maybe? And I was like, no, not that. I'm like, nonfiction? Like, maybe there's a brand of nonfiction I don't read very often. But I ended up going with, and this is going to sound crazy, paranormal romance. So.
Twilight.
So, no, it's like, it's crazier than that. So this book is, and it's funny, I had never heard of this, but my friend bought me the whole trilogy when I turned like 15 or something, and I was like, wow, what's this? It's called Divine by Mistake by PC Cast. And yes, you might recognize that name because PC Cast and her daughter, I believe it was, wrote that vampire series together called, like, the first book was Chosen. I can't remember what the name of the series. House of Night. I never read those. I wasn't into those books. All of my friends were, but I somehow bypassed that. However, I read Divine by Mistake, which is from a trilogy called Perthalon. Yeah. And these are books that are not teen books. Like, this was, it transcended my teen reading at the time.
Okay.
And it's basically about this woman who, you know, lives in modern life or whatever. She goes to an antique sale and finds this old antique and touches it, and it transports her into another world.
Oh my God.
And she, like, basically swaps place with her doppelganger in that world. And so in that world, she's like a goddess. Nobody can tell the difference because they look literally the exact same. And so she's just living this life as, like, this regal, wonderful woman who everybody adores. But she's, like, just this woman. But it's, like, erotic,
right.
Like, romance as
okay.
well.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole thing in there. And I wasn't expecting that when I started it. But it was, like, really good. Like, I don't know if I would still think it's good. But as a teenager, I was like, wow, this is really good. And I read the whole trilogy and absolutely loved it. So
wow.
That's my weird genre that, and it's funny, I still have those books. Like, I've gotten rid of most of my weird books like that from that time in my life because I'm like, I'll never read that again. But for some reason, I feel a connection to those books and I feel like I'll probably read them again.
I think that that is so awesome. I really love that you'd mention those because, like you said, I don't think you've ever mentioned those.
I've never had an opportunity to recommend yeah. those books.
I would be super excited to hear what happens if you try rereading them. Because part of
the
thing when we read books we loved as teens is that they are written for teens. And so we're like, it just doesn't hold up for me. Like, emotionally, I'm way past that teenage feeling. I was just a while ago, I was hanging out and I was talking with some people who are just like fresh in their early 20s.
Ooh.
And I it was nothing against them, but what I'm just trying to say is that, like, it was like I realized I'm in a very different phase of my life. And I was like,
yeah.
If I'm in a different phase of my life as the early 20s, what the hell was high school is like another world away, right?
Totally. So completely.
When
different.
We revisit those YA books, a lot of the time they can't be as powerful anymore. Because
we're different people.
We were different people experiencing different things. Those things meant so much to us because we were going through it. But
yeah,
so often there'll be letdowns. But this isn't for teens. So
no,
I'm curious if you reread it, if you'll still like it.
I know, because I think it's very much just like a plot kind of book. Like, I feel like it's just like fun to read. There's probably nothing that deep going on. But I just remember having a lot of fun reading them. And that sometimes that can be enough.
That's how I felt about Ready Player One. Like, I was
that's
like,
that's true.
This
that's just
deep.
A fun book.
It's just freaking great.
Yeah.
It's just a romp.
Well, that was super fun. I'm super excited to hear your answers to the next two here because these ones, I was like, I don't even know what tropes I'm interested in. Let me, like, unpack this in my brain.
Yes.
So number three is, I love this trope, but I didn't like this book.
Okay.
So what was the trope you picked?
I found this really hard. I did find this really hard because I was like, what are tropes? I think of
I know,
tropes.
I don't even know what the hell a trope is anymore. If it's not like a romance trope, what is it? What even is a trope?
I was like, love triangle? No, wait. Hate. What is it? Enemies to lovers? Like, all of the tropes I can think of are for romance and YA.
Yeah.
And I don't read romance or YA anymore. So I'm just like, I couldn't. I was having difficulties thinking of them. But then, so the thing I landed on, I'm honestly not sure. I don't think this counts as a trope, but I think it's maybe growing into a trope. I'll just say it. It's like social media star. Is that a trope? It's like a character type.
I mean, it could be, I guess. It's a type of situation in a book. So
right?
Maybe. Sure, why not?
So basically, I have found that I do really enjoy books about #influencers books about people who are online or are internet or are famous. Maybe that's like mm-hmm. a better way. Maybe that's more of a trope way to put it. Like a person who gets
like
famous.
Famous main character or like famous characters.
I find that interesting. Like with Albatross and other things where it's like.
It is interesting because it makes you like look behind the curtain a little bit of like, what is it to be widely known?
And like, yeah, and how does that like.
What it means to the people who are. Exactly. Influencers or whatever.
How does that mess you up?
I totally get it. exactly.
An absolutely remarkable thing. It's definitely why I like that book so much. Like, there's, if you look at my favorite books and the books I've been enjoying in the last few years, like, that's definitely, I would say, a trope or a theme throughout it. So, the one I picked, so I love that trope, but I didn't like the book, is No One Is Talking About This by Patricia Lockwood.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So, this book got a lot of hype last year, and I by no means think that it's undeserved. I think that it resonated with a lot of people, and that's cool, right? Mm. Like, when I was reading it, it wasn't that I thought it was a bad book. I didn't even think it was badly written. I just wasn't clicking with it, and I actually DNF'd it, as you will recall. Like, I was just like, I don't want to read this right now. I don't want to read this anymore. I want to give up. And it's only like a 250-page book, and I gave up around the 80-page mark. So I did read like almost half of it. I guess that's not math, but you know what I mean. Like, I read a good chunk of it, and I was like, I just, I can't right now. It's too much. So yeah, that's my guy. And like, yeah, it is a trope I like. Like, I like seeing people get famous, or especially internet famous, and seeing how that messes the. I guess it's because, well, I've said too much, but it's because that's what's happening to me. Like, I'm not saying I'm famous. That's such a cringe thing. Think that. But I have an online following, and that's my job, right? And like, how does that affect your mental health? I won't say anything else. Really?
Take it away. So the trope that I decided to go with.
A fun tag. I'm having a great time.
It is fun. I wish we could tag people, but like, I don't know how to do that in this situation. So the trope that I decided to go with was found family. Because
totally.
I freaking love that so much. Yeah. I love it when people who either don't have a family or like don't enjoy their family or have lost their family or whatever can find people that feel like family or even just people who feel like outcasts or what have you. I just love that so much.
Totally.
And so I went looking back through my books and discovered one that I did not enjoy. And it was a teen book I read back in the day. So like, don't ask me what it's about. But The Darkest Minds by Alexandra Bracken.
Ooh.
I know that's kind of a controversial one because everybody loved this book back in the day.
They all loved it.
The people loved the series a lot, but I just found it so slow. I think the problem I had was that it was really boring. But like, the found family aspect is fine. It's about all these kids who like have powers and they don't really understand what's going on, and they all get kind of clumped together, and some of them escape, I think. And so like their little found family is nice, but the whole book just didn't work for me. I just remember thinking like, what is going on? I also watched the movie a couple of years ago to like, because it came out.
I didn't know there was a movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amanda Stanberg. What's her name?
Oh,
again?
Really?
Amanda from the Hunger Games.
Yeah, yeah.
Amanda. She's in that, and there's some other people in it. But yeah, it was not a good movie. That's what the point I was getting at. unfortunately, not a very good movie. But that's what I went with. What is the trope that you don't like? And a book that you enjoyed that has that trope.
I thought this was, I was just looking on IMDb at this Darkest Minds movie, and I think I might remember the trailer, actually, now that I'm looking at photos from it. But anyhow, the trope that I hate is pregnancy. Unexpected pregnancy, I should say. I've talked about this on the podcast before. It doesn't mean anything. Don't read into it, right? Don't be like, oh, Ariel doesn't. No. It just so happens that whenever I read about an unexpected pregnancy, I get so stressed. And so I can't enjoy it. Like, it doesn't really matter what the book's about. If there's an unexpected pregnancy in there, I'm just like, oh, no, this is so stressful. But I realized that All We Shall Know by Donal Ryan is about an unexpected pregnancy. And I don't even think about that book as a book about pregnancy, but it, like, 1,000% is. Like, fully is about that, because basically it's a book about a woman who's in a bad marriage, and basically, like, just both people in the marriage are unhappy, so they're sort of being nasty to each other or unkind towards each other. She ends up cheating on her husband with a student that she tutors, which that sounds even more controversial than it is. Like, he is he's of age, so it's not like statutory rape, but it's just like they end up sleeping together, and then she ends up getting pregnant from that. So she's like, I have to tell my husband because I'm pregnant now, so it's like I can't hide it. And so obviously her marriage falls apart, and then everyone in her small Irish community completely disowns her and is like, you are a scum of the earth, like, we're never going to talk to you again. And so she's like completely alone. It's like the most solitary, lonely book I've ever read, and it was kind of part of why I liked it, because it had such a unique loneliness to the book, where it's just like this woman who just, the world hates her. I love that book, but it totally revolves around a pregnancy. Like,
it's true. None of, like, that's like the catalyst for everything.
Exactly. So I find that really fascinating. And like the whole time you're like, why is she not getting rid of the baby? Like, she clearly doesn't really want it. Like, what's gonna happen? What's her plan? And she's sort of avoiding it. She's like avoiding it, and you're like, it's the elephant in the room throughout the whole book, and so it like adds this really cool tension.
Very good.
Fascinating. What about you?
My trope, this is, again, like your first one. I don't know if this counts as a trope per se, but it's a thing in books that I hate when it happens. And that is dream sequences. I think, isn't this silly? I just think every time something pops up and, like, you can tell it's a dream, I'm like, just skip to the part that matters. Like, I don't want to hear about a person's dreams, because dreams are wild and insane and most of the time don't make any freaking sense. So it's just like, I am not interested in that. I know that there are definitely other people out there who will agree with me, because I've seen some things. It's like, dream sequences are stupid.
Really?
Not interested in it.
Really?
Yes.
Do you remember what dream you had last night?
No, not right.
What's
now.
What's the last dream you remember?
That's a great question. I don't really remember. My dreams are pretty stupid, though. Like, one of my coworkers is having a baby in a few months, and I had a dream that she had the baby, and that it was on the day that she guessed she was going to have the baby.
That's very
I'm like, that was my dream. That's all I remember about the dream. And I was like, wow, am I psychic? Like, is that what's going to happen in a few months? That's crazy. But sometimes I have just the most ridiculous dreams. Usually my dreams are about, like, being late for school. It's like, I don't go to school anymore. Why am I dreaming about this? But that's one of my most recurring dreams. That's pretty
so funny.
Wild.
I had a dream last night that was absolutely unchained. It was crazy. So basically I was sitting in a lecture hall, and somebody was coming into our class, basically. Can you tell we're all, like, literally traumatized by school? Jesus. And so this person is, like a guest lecturer is coming to do a lecture. And we all had to prepare dioramas that he was going to look at, because he's, like, a famous dioramaist. And so he was going to, like, look at all our dioramas and, like, and I forgot to do it. Classic.
Oh, no.
And so, I mean, this is kind of just a school stress dream now that I'm thinking about it. But I was basically, like, rushing to get this diorama. And in the end, I feel like I kind of did a good one. And I put it into the, like, closet where he was going to pick one that was going to win a prize.
Yeah.
And I go back to my seat to sit next to my boyfriend. But in the dream, I'm not dating Connor. I'm dating this kid that I completely forgot about. I mean, he's not a kid. It was age appropriate. Like, it's a person who I went to high school with.
I have dreams like that all the time.
I haven't thought. I forgot that this person existed. And then they showed up in my dream. And I woke up and I was like, where is that person? So I looked him up on Facebook. He lives in Australia now.
What the?
Yeah, he's like a cool, like, he climbed Everest.
That is so wild.
He's so
that
cool
is
now.
So wild.
But, like, in the dream we were dating, and I would look at him and I'd be like, you're not my boyfriend. Like there was something, like, I knew something was wrong. Do you know what I mean?
But you weren't fully lucid.
But
like,
I wasn't
really
like
was
I wasn't
on.
Lucid, so I didn't understand what was going on. But I was like, you're not my boyfriend, but you are my boyfriend in this dream. And I was like, what's happening? And then I looked over and Connor was there. And I was like, that's my boyfriend.
Huh.
It's very confusing. Maybe you're right. Maybe people shouldn't share their dreams because that was weird.
Because, like, can you imagine reading that?
No.
Like, what you just explained to me, like, that being in a book and being like, wow, that was so interesting. Now let me, like, move on with my super interesting life as the heroine of this novel.
Well, because I think what's part of the problem is, like, when you tell me your dreams or I tell you my dreams, it's fun because we know each other. And so we can kind of find the details in the dream. But if
yeah,
you're
exactly.
reading a dream that's made up about a character that's made up, it's like,
well,
what
exactly.
is the
it's
point
just so. Like it's just so on purpose. I don't
yes,
know like a better way
exactly
to say
it
where it's like
no,
let me
exactly
insert
it.
Something that seems meaningful into this dream as a plot device. I just find
yeah.
it so dumb. Like I just don't enjoy that at all.
Except
there was a book I read where the dream sequences were freaking dope, and that was Kafka on the Shore by Haruki Murakami.
Whoa.
Yeah. Murakami does great dream sequences, particularly in this book, because like the things that are happening are kind of like, is this really happening or is this a dream? Like it toes the line of like, is this reality or not?
Right.
And so it makes it cool. It's not just like, oh, here's a dream I had, la 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 la. It has purpose and like it adds to the story and adds a surreal effect to the whole thing. And it's just like, whoa. Yeah. So I just
that's really cool.
Good book.
This was a fun
thank you
episode, man.
I know, it's
time
so fun. We're only halfway through and we've had such good chats already. Well, let's move on from the dream talk. I feel like I did that for too long. Number 5 on the tag is I love this author, but I didn't like this book. Ooh, this is a scary one.
That's a scandalous one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I picked John Ronson and I went with the psychopath test. So here's the thing. I honestly didn't dislike this book. So when it says I didn't like this book, maybe this isn't accurate. I felt really neutral about this book, I guess is the best way for me to put it. Like
yeah.
there were parts of it that I liked, and overall I've left it with like a pretty neutral experience. But I don't really remember much about it. It was not memorable. It was funny, but not as funny. It was
yeah.
interesting, but not as interesting. I think the obvious... Okay, so I should have prefaced. John Ronson is one of our favorite authors because mm-hmm. he wrote So You've Been Publicly Shamed, which is a book about like internet public shamings. And it's basically like an investigative look at a bunch of different people that had been canceled online and what the circumstances were, what's the context around that, and what has happened to them now. So it's like a very interesting book and story. But obviously... Mm-hmm. That's not going to work with every topic. Like, you kind of have to care about the topic. So it makes sense that you and
yeah.
me would find online shamings interesting because we spend a lot of time on the internet. This whole topic of, like, psychopaths and, like, I just didn't really care, I guess. I was just sort of, like, neutral from the get-go. I was like, I want to read this because I like John Ronson.
Exactly. And it's tough, but you're like, what if you aren't interested in any other thing that he writes? But
I know,
you love
that
his one book so much. It
I know.
Kind of, like, feels wrong.
It stresses me out. So I didn't dislike it, but I just felt like it was, like, such a 3 out of 5. You know what I mean? It was, like, a 3
yeah.
stars.
I'm like, I agree with
sure.
that. And I am interested in the topic of psychopaths, and I felt the
oh,
exact
that's
same
interesting.
As you. It was like,
yeah, because like when he's like learning about the test that people do, like there's like 10 things to check off who is a psychopath. I was like, eh. I was like, eh, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. They're psychopaths. Whatever.
It's all right. Well,
okay.
The
what
book
about you?
That I went with. This one was deeply disappointing because. The author is Marcus Zusak.
Oh.
I loved The Book Thief. I loved I Am the Messenger. And then I waited like 10 years for him to come out with another book.
Yikes.
And then Bridge of Clay came out and I just hated it so much.
You really hated it.
I really hated it.
Did you read the whole
and, like,
thing or did you DNF?
I see. Okay, here's the thing. Sometimes... I will like kind of do both, if
okay.
that makes sense.
Like,
I will read to a certain point, and then if there's like maybe 50 pages left, I will like skim the most like skimmiest skim you've ever seen. Like, I'm barely reading any of the words, but I'm just like looking. I'm like, yep, I saw a couple words. I flip the page, yeah, just so I can like feel like I finished
yep.
it, which is so, totally stupid because it's like I didn't really. I think I probably did that with this book because I found it so boring.
Yeah.
Like, I just found it so hard to read, and I was not invested in any of the characters and their story at all.
Yeah.
I just found it to be so dull. It's just, like, about brothers, I think, and one of them is building a bridge or something. And I'm like, I just... I thought there would be some more meaning to it, but I didn't feel it. Like, sure, I didn't glean any more meaning from it. It just felt like a very, very dull story.
Do you know anyone who, really likes it?
Not that I know of offhand, but, like, so lots of people do. Like, there are tons of people out there in the general public who love this book.
Oh, wow.
So, it's like, is there... I don't know if there's just something wrong with me or if my expectations were too high because I loved his other books so much. Like, I don't know. But that is not a book that I... enjoyed or will ever read again. So that made me sad. However, the flip side of this, I like that it goes negative and then positive.
Yes.
It flips to the positive after. So the opposite of this is, what is an author that you have previously disliked, but then you read a book of theirs and really enjoyed it?
I love this question. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to find this, because usually if I read only one book by an author and I don't like it, I probably won't pick up another book
by
that
author. It's kind of a weird situation to happen.
Exactly. It would be pretty rare. So when I realized this one, I was like, oh, it's true. Like, I didn't even really think about it. But the author is Marco Tamaki. So... the first book I ever read by Marco was also with Jillian Tamaki, and it was, what's the book called? One Last Summer? This Last Summer? One More Summer?
It's one of those. God, it's the purple one.
It's the purple summer one. So it's a
graphic... This One Summer, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a graphic novel, and the illustrations are beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and the characters are really interesting and stuff, but I just found it very boring, a little sad, and kind of vague in a way that I really dislike, where I'm just like, what's going on? Like, I just, it's like a lot of emotions, but I'm not like, they're not impacting me, so you're just sort of like reading emotions, but you're not feeling the emotion, you know what I mean? And I just really didn't enjoy it. I didn't, like, hate it. I didn't think, like, oh, this is a garbage book. No, I was just like, this isn't the book for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but it's still kind of... That was one of the first books that really opened up graphic novels for me. Because even though I didn't like that one, I still was like... I did enjoy the experience of, like, reading a graphic novel. Like, it sort of be
absolutely.
Like, the first... If the first movie you ever watched you didn't like... I don't think you'd give up on movies. You'd just be like, you can still recognize that there is something in the form. So I obviously then went on to read many more graphic novels. Mm-hmm. And then I read Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me, which is by Mariko Tamaki. Obsessed with it. Obsessed. One of the best graphic novels. You were there when I read it. Obsessed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop gasping and screaming. I just completely enjoyed it. I found the illustrations to be beautiful. The illustrations are done by Rosemary Valero O'Connell, I think is the name of the author, or the illustrator. They're really beautiful, but I love that graphic novel, and I'm super glad that I didn't give up on... I mean, why would I? Like, obviously, one book doesn't mean you don't... It's like with music. I've got loads of musicians I love, and I just don't like one of their albums, so...
Yeah.
Mariko. Awesome. What about you?
Well, I kind of have two. One of them is mostly just because it was hilarious that I read another book by this author, but I'll start with the normal one. So the author is Libba Bray.
Oh, yeah.
Because back in the day, and I think mine is kind of a weirder journey. Like, I think I read A Great and Terrible Beauty and really enjoyed it. And so then I read Going Bovine by her and hated it. I was like, this is a terrible book. And I think by that point I was like, whatever. Like, I don't necessarily need to read more of her books. But then I came across Beauty Queens and was like, I was just like, happened to be at the library one day, and I was like, I just need something to read. And I sat down and started reading it, and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And obviously read the whole thing and absolutely loved it. So I'm so glad that I took a chance on it, not only because I had read a book of hers that I didn't really like, but also the cover is kind of like, what is this? What is this book? Like, didn't seem like my type of book, but I absolutely loved that book. So Libba Bray had a redemption arc for me. But the other one that is funny, because I read another book by this author by accident, was Andrew Smith. So you and I both read The Marbury Lens together and positively hated it. Like, we, that was one of the earliest, like, one-star scathing reviews I've probably ever, like, had. And we just hated everything about that book.
What,
like,
if we it just loved did not it work. If we reread it?
I feel like I might. I honestly, I could have grown enough that I would love it. But in my head, it's like this horrible, heinous book that I absolutely hated. And then years later, I was at a bookstore and came across this book called Winger by Andrew Smith and was like, wow, what is this? This seems really cool. Sounds great. I'll read it. And I read it, absolutely loved it. And then it's like at the end of the book, probably when I was reading after what the book was, it says the other books by him. And I was like, wait, what? The Marbury Lens. Wait, huh? Because he has just kind of like a generic name, right? Yeah, so yeah. I didn't, like, it didn't click. I didn't realize it was the same author. And I was totally. Like, holy shit.
That's so
how
funny.
How did I pick up a book by this author that I thought I hated so much, but I just didn't like that one book?
Yeah.
That's why, like, ever since then, now I'm like, I'm always willing to give an author another chance because you just never know.
Because also the, like, flip thing happens where you read a book by an author and you love it, and then you read another book by them and you don't really enjoy it. And it's like, well, aren't you glad, like, you didn't read them in the reverse order? Because that's what if true. You'd given up, you wouldn't have gone over. So yeah, like, it, there's just, people are not super consistent, right?
Yeah, well, that's actually kind of like me with Stephen King. Sorry to interrupt. I read Carrie when I was like a 15-year-old and I did not like it. Like, I didn't click with it at all, and now look at me.
And here we are.
I have an entire shelf on my bookshelf that, like, has books starting to double stack because I have so many, and it's just Stephen King on that shelf.
I think that it's something we have to be like getting a better habit of it, because I mean, you and me talk a lot about how we'll often read a book by an author, love it, and then it'll be years before we read another book by them.
I hate that.
So it's just like, this is the opposite of that. Sometimes you'll read a book by someone and it doesn't mean that if one of their other books sounds interesting that you shouldn't give it a try. You probably should give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, what's the next one?
The next question is, well, actually, we're down to the last two. We're down to the last pair of questions. So the first one is, I love this cover, but I didn't like this book.
Okay, this one is say fun. It together. 3, 2, 1, Tokyo Ueno Station.
I was like, I don't think we picked the same book. I don't think you've read the book that I chose. But that's a great pick. That didn't even occur to me.
Yeah, so this one occurred to me instantly because I guess because I'd been thinking about The Memory Police, and those were both kind of buddy reads, like books we'd read together, pretty close together. And so I thought of Tokyo Ueno Station, and I was like, that's for me lately the pinnacle. Like, I am obsessed with that cover. Even, I mean, like, I'm not going to be fake and be like, oh, no, I didn't like that book. Like, looking back, the cover's not even that. No, the cover is incredible, okay?
It's
the
awesome.
Cover is phenomenal. The entire just design of that book, I love the little shape of it. I love, mm-hmm. it's almost a square. Like, it's just a little guy. I love the spine. I love the back. I'm obsessed with the color choices and the shapes. Like, I think it's beautiful. But I just didn't enjoy it. I found it confusing, I guess is the word, like, just confused by what it was trying to achieve and what it was trying to say. And it was difficult for you and me because when we were reading it, we knew it had won the National Book Award, and we were like, why, like, what is it about this book that made the judges, like, be like, yes, this is the one? And I'm not saying it didn't deserve it, maybe it did, I just couldn't understand their reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just, oh, God. God damn it.
I wanted also, like, to love that it one, so you've much. Talked about it before, but, like, the title is so misleading, too, because it makes you
so
feel like
misleading.
It's about a station, like, about a train station.
Yeah.
And it just takes place near a train station and is about something completely different. I was like, huh?
Like,
I could have just called it In the Park or something.
Yeah, it's about, like, because the even the description is, like, join a ghost in Tokyo Ueno Station or something. And, like, the whole time you're therefore waiting for, when is the train station going to be important? When are they going to go into the train station? Like, you're just sort of, like, having an expectation of that. And then it does, guys, like, I cannot emphasize enough how they never go in the train station. The whole book is set in the park outside of the train station.
It's so frustrating.
They could have even just called it Tokyo Ueno Station's Park, And that would have
exactly
been more accurate.
That would have made more sense.
Oh, geez.
That
okay.
Made more sense.
What well, did you pick?
The book that I chose is kind of a random book again, but has a very beautiful cover. If you haven't seen it yet, you should look it up. It's called Universal Harvester by Whoa. John Darnielle.
I do know the one you're talking about.
Oh, my God. It has the most beautiful, like, kind of trippy effect that, like, has, like, a kind of old school look to it, but also kind of, like, a trick of the eye. Like, it's kind of like, what am I, like, it's just so well done, and I don't even know, like, how they achieved that look, but it's such a cool cover, and I 100% bought it because of the cover and because it sounded cool.
Yes.
It's about this, it takes place in the 90s, I think, and it's about this guy that works at, like, a movie rental place, and basically something weird starts happening where, like, he gets back a movie, like a tape or whatever, and it has like somebody has recorded something over it, and it's like this weird creepy thing. And so I was like, okay, this is a great recipe for a book. But then, like, the whole book is just kind of a nothingness the whole time. Like, nothing interesting really happens. Like, the premise is good, and then the whole thing just falls apart. And it was just, like, weird, but, like, also not interesting. That's another one of my one stars. They're very rare, like I've said, but they're true.
I was just looking at his page. I had owned Wolf in White Van by him.
That was really popular back in the booktube, the
old
booktube days. Because I think I owned that book at 1.2 and then was like, maybe not. But it sounded really cool.
I feel the same. I remember owning it for a while, and then I was like, it had been years, and I was like, I'm not going to read this. So I ended up donating it. But all of his books are really beautiful. You're right.
Yeah. They have great cover designs. So that's cool. His newest book, I think, has a really cool cover too.
Devil House. I was just looking at it.
Yeah.
It's called Devil House. That's such a cool name.
It's so cool. It looks like a 70s horror novel. I love that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to read it. Anyway, so
literally we just spent 10 to 15 minutes talking about how if you don't like one book by an author, that shouldn't mean you don't ever try another book by them. And you're like, yeah, that book looks and sounds great, but I'm not going to read it.
I mean, okay, you're right. Maybe I'll think about it. It's in the works. I'll wait and see the reviews because, I mean, Universal Harvester also gets very, very bad reviews. It's not just me.
Yeah, it's not just
so I think I might it might be a it's not you, it's me kind of vibe. Like, I don't know, but I'll think about it. So the last question is, I don't like this cover, but I loved this book.
This is a good note to end on, actually. Like, helping to promote the books that just didn't get the pretty covers.
Yeah.
I actually have two. Because Ooh. This is the only one I wanted to do two for, because there's one that it's just like the worst one, and it is Boy Proof by Cecil Castellucci.
Oh, so, that cover is horrifying.
This is just a book I've talked about for years. I think I read it when I was 14 or 15 the first time, so literally I've been championing this book for like 13 years or something. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love this book. I haven't reread it in quite a few years, so you know, I maybe can't vouch for it, but I think if you're a teen, it's a great read. The cover is perhaps the most unfortunate thing. It's just so unfortunate. The text, the photo, the like whole aesthetic, it's just bad. And it's sad because that book, I think, honestly, would be a big favorite of people if it was more attractive. Which is ironically sort of the topic of the book. But the other one I wanted to shout out was, again, because like Tokyo Ueno Station was one that happened really recently, I wanted to shout out Ghost in the House, because that was one that I read last year and loved. If you remember, I had that challenge, or no, us together, we had done that challenge to like read a Halloween-y book, and I had this book that I'd bought only a few months prior, and I was like, yes, I should read this because it has a ghost in it, and I adored that book. I thought it was so good, and I just really, really liked it, but I just think the cover is really disappointing. It's definitely not like the worst cover I've ever seen, but it's just like, it doesn't match the book at all. Like, I think that this book could have a really haunting, interesting, moody cover because it's literally about a woman who's realizing she's a ghost and she's, like, reappeared in her husband's house 5 years later and he has a new wife and, like, a stepdaughter and she's trying to come to terms with it and she's kind of in and out of this ghosty consciousness and... like, it's, like, spooky and a little confusing, but in a really good way. But the cover is just, like, a shirt and
yeah, the cover doesn't colors. Seem to match that vibe at all.
No, literally not at all. Like, it's, like, the only thing she's wearing is this shirt. It's, like, the shirt she died in. So I get why the shirt is there. But it's, like, really, like, if you had asked me, if I hadn't read the book with a cover on it, and you'd asked me, like, what are some symbols in the book that could be on the cover? Yeah. I never would have mentioned the shirt. The shirt's not important. Like, it's mentioned. It is in the book, but it's, like, not important. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
I wish that could have, like, a really amazing, amazing cover that would really encourage people to pick it up and totally. Share it and stuff. Okay, but what did you pick?
So sad. I picked an entire series because Ooh. The series is fantastic, but the covers are all horrible.
Interesting.
And that is, it's going to be so random. Another, like, books that I've probably never mentioned on the podcast before, but I loved these when I was a younger teen. The Cirque du Freak series by Darren Shan.
Hell yeah. I remember you
so,
mentioning these
to be
to
fair,
me.
These do have... like UK editions that are pretty, but those aren't the editions that are available where I am. So I associate the series with the really hideous covers. They came out in the early 2000s and they have this like very, like there's a few different covers. So there are some that are slightly less terrible than others, but the one I'm looking at is like a lime green building with like yellow text. And like, it's just very, I don't know. It looks like it was made on paint or something. Like, it's just not pretty. Yikes. And pretty much all of the covers are like this. Like, they're not attractive. But these books are so, so good. And, like, it's another thing where I'm like, I don't know if I would feel as passionately about them if I read them now. But when I was, like, 13, these were so good. I would read... there's 12 books in the series, and I read one every single day until I was done the series, like, during the summertime. I just... for 12 days straight, I was living this series. And it's just, like, about this guy who... him and his friend go to this, like, secret circus that's in town that nobody really knows about, but they go to it, and some weird stuff happens, and the main character becomes a half vampire.
Whoa.
So it's, like... whoa, like totally not something I'm really interested in now, but it's just such a great journey, like the journey that he goes on. And they're such short books, so like you can read through them quite quickly and get this huge story in like a fairly tiny package, which is nice. And it's just so good. Such a good series. Really, really loved it. But the covers are not doing it any favors. Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's a thing, isn't it? Which
is totally
obviously why there's the expression, don't judge a book by its cover. But when there's so many talented graphic designers out there.
I know, I kind of wish that like they would just redesign every book cover. Like every 10 years or something. Just be like, just give it a fresh face. Why not?
A massive project.
I know, right?
This was such a fun tag.
It was so fun. Thank you for coming up with this idea.
Yeah. Again, I will link the creator of this tag in the show notes if you want to watch their original video. Check it out. I watched it. It was really cute and fun. And yeah, do it yourself. It was a fun one.
It was super fun. Well, we are off to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books Unbucket. And we got a great question today. I, once again, have no idea what I'm going to say, but I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. This one comes from Charlotte, who came up with a great question. If you were to write an autofiction novel about a certain event, transition in your life, what would you write about?
Wow.
What do you think the main themes of the novel would be? And what would you want the cover to look like? These are a lot of big questions, Charlotte, I don't know if I'm ready for it. But we're about to go dive in. And we're going to answer this question over on our Patreon. So if you want to listen to this crazy little episode we're about to record, head on over to Patreon.
Amazing.
So without further ado, we're going to go do that. So thank you guys so much for listening. And we will talk to you next week with a regular episode. Bye.
Bye. Check out our new hats.